And all right, guys, tonight I've been trying to put this one together for a minute. But when you're talking to somebody of this caliber, it takes some planning and whatnot. But we have royalty with us tonight, the uncrowned queen of the West Coast Soul, Raquel Rodriguez, is on the phone with us tonight. And Raquel, thanks for coming on.
I'm coming for that crown.
it's been well deserved, and whoever's holding it needs to relinquish it. They just need to go ahead and turn it over, because they haven't.
Well, thank you.
They haven't earned it like you have. You've been grinding for a minute. So today, everybody, Raquel released the 310 Part 2, and it's an amazing follow-up to the 310 Part 1 that came out in 2016. If you haven't heard that one, go up on iTunes when you're going to pre-order when you're going to download Part 2, and go ahead and get the Part 1 as well, and then check her out. She's been doing this since 2012, and there's a lot of music out there, so you should get it because it's all quality. And if you don't know the outlets, we're going to tell you how you can get those in just a bit. But speaking of you making music since 2012, like, when did you start singing, and when did you realize you wanted to do this for a living?
I've actually been singing for pretty much my entire life. My mom said that I came out of the womb singing, but obviously that's not possible. But I think it all started with Disney movies. I would sing, like, anything Pocahontas or anything Aladdin or anything Sleeping Beauty. The Disney movies were just my jam, and it wasn't on purpose that I would just watch the movie and by the end of it I would know all of the songs, and then I'd run around my house in the yard singing all these songs, and my brothers would hate me for it because it was just like a broken record for them. But I mean to me it felt natural. I thought all kids were just running around singing all these Disney songs. But after a while, whenever everybody around me was saying that, like, hey, you sound really good, I thought they were just being nice. But over time I realized that it was a talent that I had been gifted with. And I think once I started pursuing music in school, that's when I started to realize that it was more of a career path instead of just a hobby. And I think what put me over the top with realizing that was just USC, like Thornton School of Music, and pursuing it in college and really just gunning for it and going for the music route as far as a thing to study. I think that's when I realized, like, hey, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. And USC totally guided me in the right direction, and I'm really grateful that I had a school like that to show me the way and introduce me to the right people and just make sure that I knew what I was doing.
Well, maybe the 310 Part 3 could be like an ode to the Disney tunes.
Part 3? No, you know, I think after the 310 Part 2, I'm not sure what's next for sure, but I do know that I want to keep releasing music, whether it's an album or whether it's more EPs. I definitely want to continue releasing music, and, you know, I think we're just trying to get through right now.
Yeah. And how did you get your first break once you got into college and stuff, and you got out of just like the family and friends saying that you were really good?
My first break, I'm still waiting on it. No, I'm not sure what I would consider as my first break, but I do know that I've been given a lot of opportunities to continue pursuing music, whether it was just my parents supporting me throughout college or just being in the LA circuit where I was meeting artists like Anderson .Paak and Gwen Stefani and Moby, and just having all of these artists in my backyard where it was easy for me to just be in touch with them. But as far as like my first big break, I'm not sure that I would consider anything that I've done yet as a big break, because I still have so much more in mind that I want to do. So I think considering anything as a big break for me would have to be like my first big break is me winning a freaking Grammy. That's what I'm aiming for. And although I've had a lot of opportunities, I'm still looking for more.
Well, the Grammy is definitely 6 years too long. So if anybody from the Grammy Academy or the board or however that works, if any of y'all are listening, when you hear these songs tonight, come on, get in touch with her. Cause this,
hopefully it'll win me a Grammy.
Heck yeah. And then,
yeah,
I've seen you on TV with Gwen Stefani and with Anderson .Paak. I'm doing some vocals with them. And then I've got a Watsky record where you did some stuff with him. Like, aside from those guys, like, who else have you worked with that we may not know about?
Those are pretty much the bulk of the artists that I've really recorded with. There's a band called that I am very familiar with because the keyboard player Nigel Hall is one of the producers on the 310 Part 1 and 2. But the drummer in that band is also in another project called Break Science. And I've done a single with them that was released last year. And that was really cool because it was kind of out of my comfort zone in a genre that I'm not familiar with. And then we ended up doing this song, and it was probably one of my favorite songs that we've done in like the last year or so. And it's just way different from what my own material is, but I've definitely had the opportunity to work with a lot of really cool artists, especially, I mean, just the ones that we've already named, like Moby and Anderson .Paak, and I got to do backgrounds for Gwen Stefani, but the whole Break Science opportunity was awesome, and through Break Science and Nigel, I got to record backgrounds for a Lettuce track that's going to be featuring Marcus King for his next record, so, you know, I've gotten to record for some pretty cool acts.
Most definitely. And so the music market right now is basically singles driven. Every Friday on iTunes, there's a new single by this guy or that guy. And not very many people other than like established artists are really dropping records. So why was it important to release like these five songs versus just dropping a single here and a single here and a single here?
Yeah, I think part of my whole Raquel Rodriguez persona is very old school orientated, and I feel like albums are old school. Like, that's what people used to do. They used to release albums. And although I'm not releasing an album, I'm releasing a collection of music that's just a representation of me. And I know that there's a lot of people listening to, like, they might not listen to an artist, but they'll like one song from an artist. And although that's cool and it has its benefits, like, I think that having an overall representation with a few songs, whether it's 5, 6, or 11 tracks, I think that's important for an artist because it helps their fans get to know them a little bit more than just the one track. You know, like, I mean, even you said it yourself, the worst thing about my EP is that when it's over and you have to start it all over again. And for me, that's a huge compliment because there have been times where I skip album tracks from some of my favorite artists. I'm like, I don't like the song that much. I don't like the song that much either. And I just go to my favorites. But, you know, when it's an EP and you don't have so many songs to pick from, it's almost like each song of the five songs can be your favorite, at least for this day when you're feeling like that, or that day when you're feeling like that. And I think for me, just an EP of songs and having a collection is just way more representative of me as a whole rather than just one song here and there, because I don't know, it's hard for me to get out my feelings and all of my whole persona just through one song. And if people are only going to listen to one song, I hope that one song continues to push them to listen to the next and the next.
Right. And I'll co-sign that the 310 Part 1 is amazing. It's 5 stars just in itself. And then Part 2 is like, Vanessa sent it to me so I could check it out before we talked, and it hasn't left my phone. I put it in there and I've played it literally every day, at least once every day, all the way through. It's not a listen to this song, yeah, listen to that song, listen. No, it's listen to the whole thing as a collective. And like we said before we started, that's my only critique with it, is that, man, when it's over, it's like, shit, it's over. So then we got to restart it because the stuff is all that good that even though you heard Night's Over 21 minutes ago. Now it's time to hear it again. And it's not old because there's something new in it that I hear that I didn't hear the first 25 times I listened to it. So
it's funny. Every time someone asks me about like an EP versus a single too, I'm always like, well, you know, the 310 and the 310 part two, they're basically just the perfect amount of time for you to be able to drive from one spot in LA to the next.
There you go.
And again, if somebody, 20 something minutes.
And if somebody wants a whole record, like we talked before we started, you can listen to one and the other, make a playlist or burn a CD with one and the other. And then you have a part one and part two and it's all good to go. You have 11 songs instead of five. And there you go. Quit complaining.
Yep.
And so one cool thing that I got to watch over social media is that you guys got to go overseas and do some shows in Europe. How was that?
Yeah.
And what all other than your shows did you get to do while you guys were over there?
Honestly, London was like, it was 2 weeks, but it felt like it was 2 days because we just did so much and it passed by so fast that we didn't even realize we only had like a day left when it was all over. We basically were working the whole time. Like, we auditioned band members while we were there because I want to be able to take my project over the course of my career. I want to be able to go to wherever I want, whether it's London or Japan or Australia or wherever. I want to be able to play wherever I want. And with independent artists, that's not always the case because it's expensive. I'm sure you know this, but it's so expensive to travel and to travel with a band and to be able to pay the band to be able to stay with you for as long as it is that you want to play. And I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to do all this. And we auditioned band members while we were there, and everybody that auditioned for us was killing, like super, super talented musicians. But while we were there, for the first time, we actually did a show that was just me and Sam, my drummer, partner, producer, engineer. He pretty much does everything in this project. It was just me and him. He was playing drums and sample pad, and I was playing MPC and singing. And it was the first time that we'd ever gotten through an hour-long show with just the two of us. And it was really cool because we never knew that that was possible. I'm so used to having a full band behind me and, you know, just having that comfort of having four other guys on stage with me and making sure that the show is great. But for these London dates, it was out of my comfort zone, and I'm really glad that we did it because it showed me that I can do this with just me and my partner, and I can take it all over the world, and I can just, you know, make things happen without feeling like I'm going to be putting myself in debt or making myself feel like I'm not capable because I just don't either have the funds or the resources to be able to take a full band everywhere. But London was awesome because it was the first time that we'd been there on a professional level, and we did a lot of radio interviews outside of auditioning these band members and just got to know the city that we're going to be in for the next month in like November. We'll be there pretty much all month, and it was a really cool introduction to the city for us, and I thought that that was important because we're going to be there for quite a while, and I wanted to make sure that it was the right fit for us. And we met so many amazing musicians. So I'm stoked to be able to hang out with all of them and play with all of them, even if it's just on a friendly basis where we're jamming, you know, the music nerd hang.
And it looked like, just watching you guys on Instagram, it looked like you guys were having an amazing time. Like, you know, forget being jet lagged and going from our time to their time. Like, You guys looked fresh and like you were ready to go. And I listened to some of the interviews, like you didn't sound tired and you didn't sound worn out. Like, I know me, like if I take the 9-hour drive to Minneapolis and by the time I get there, I just want to die because I'm ready to go to sleep and whatnot. I can't imagine going across out to a different country and then being expected to be on the minute I get there and,
totally.
And doing all of that. So kudos to you guys.
I actually haven't really experienced jet lag as much as I have in London because I've only traveled to a few places in my entire lifetime. And I feel like this last time in London, I was like, oh, I'll be fine. Jet lag is not going to get the best of me. And then the first day of auditions, I had to apologize to everybody because I was just like, you guys, I'm so sorry. I was up at 2:30 this morning and I could not go back to sleep. So if I sound like shit, I'm so sorry. But also, if I'm being rude, I don't mean to be. But everybody was just like, what are you talking about? We don't even know you're jet lagged. I'm like, man, I just feel sick. It's crazy. But after a couple days, I finally recovered. After a couple G&Ts and a few nights out, it all kind of started to blend in and feel the same to me.
And then one thing I'll give you kudos to, again, is about your sound. I know one person did a review and they said, you know, if Prince and Sade had a baby, be Raquel Rodriguez. And I know you're a big fan of Michael as well. And in this new EP, like you can hear all of those people in there. You can hear elements of the Minneapolis sound. You can hear elements of Michael Jackson's music and of that Sade sound. And it just, everything blends together. And yet you don't sound like anybody else. You sound like Raquel Rodriguez.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
How important is it to you to be in control of your own sound and to do what you want to do versus what somebody else wants you to do or sound like?
That's almost the most important thing to me. People ask me all the time, like, so do you want to sign to a major record label? Do you want a record deal? And part of me does, but a big part of me also doesn't, because I understand what comes along with a record deal. And for me to be an artist, I feel like I have to be the artist I want to be, or else it's not going to work. Like, I don't sing just because I love to sing. I sing because I want to sing what I want to sing. And I sing what is important to me, and I sing what I feel is right for me. And when you're signed to a big record label, I don't feel like a lot of artists get that freedom. And for me to be able to control what I like and what I sound like and where the direction of my music goes, I think that's one of the biggest things for me. And I know the quality of the team that I have behind me, and I don't want any of their shine or their light to be dimmed either because of a major deal or anything, because I work with some incredibly, incredibly talented musicians, including Sam and Nigel Hall, who's in the band Lettuce, and Andres Mattson, who was our roommate for a long time, and he's in Moonchild. And I'm fortunate enough to work with all of these artists, and I feel like once you start to put so many rules and regulations on that, it starts to, you know, diminish the actual quality of talent and just the writing that we all have to offer as a collective. Because there, I mean, a lot of the times, even with Nights Over, we were thinking, like, should we make it shorter? Let's cut the drum intro by half, and let's cut the interlude by half, because, you know, pop radio, 4 minutes, 3.5 minutes. And it's just like so many rules that you have to consider. And I don't always like thinking about all that stuff. And I really enjoy and really thrive on being in control of what I do and what my team does for me. So I think that that's one of the biggest things, is although we are not signed to a record label, it gives us the opportunity to really put forward our best efforts.
Right. And if you weren't a label and you were trying to get on pop radio, I mean, you'd have to put a lot more F words in your music. You'd have to be a lot more salacious and more explicit, because you can't get on the radio anymore without sounding like trash and putting all that stuff out there. And another thing I'll compliment is I can listen to the record with my kids in the car, and my 13-year-old, right, I take him to school every day. We're listening to it. I see him kind of liking it, but he's too cool for school, so he doesn't want to let dad know he's digging dad's music. But
he doesn't want to admit it.
Right. But I can listen to it without going, oh, because there's nothing on there that is embarrassing for me to let him hear, and I do monitor what they listen to. So I respect that as well, because a lot of people are coming out and they're just trying to be as dirty as they can possibly be to out dirty the next person. And especially the female artists now too. It's like, man, you know, when you having a daughter, it's like, man, she listens to these people, and these women aren't promoting like each other and themselves. It's all about money and their clothes and their sexuality. And while you have a little bit in anniversary, it's still not dirty. Like, it's a beautiful song. Yeah. It's a cool ballad, and it's an awesome love song, and it's not dirty. And so much of what's coming out is just ridiculous. I sound like my parents now.
Cause that's, yeah.
That stuff is filthy.
Yeah.
And then as a woman in the industry, I spoke with Joanne Parker last week week before last, and we talked about it a little bit. Being a woman in the industry, what hurdles did you have to overcome to get where you're at? Because it's got to be difficult.
I mean, a lot of what you just said is a lot of the stuff that I had to figure out, like a way to be an artist that I feel is legit without having to wear clothes that makes me like wantable. It's always been an issue with me, like what I wear, what I say, how I conduct myself, and just, you know, making sure I don't say the wrong things because I'm a girl. And in the music industry, the majority of the people that I work with are male. And I think that because I grew up with two older brothers, I might have it a little bit easier. I might have a little bit more of an understanding of how to deal with men and just the male persona. I feel like I have a little bit more of an understanding of it because I grew up with men my whole life. And even in the music industry, I grew up playing in bands with men. So I kind of get it, but from the outside perspective, just from any female, it's always difficult to be the only girl in the room because nobody else understands you. And when you say something or when you get emotional about something, it's not because, I mean, to everybody else, it's not because it means something to you. It's just because you're a drama queen, right? Or you're a diva. And I've had to learn to deal with those labels in a way that I can accept them but still turn them around and be like, yeah, you guys might think I'm being a drama queen, but at the same time I am a human being and you need to respect my wishes, not just because I'm a female or not just because I'm not a man, but just because I'm a person.
Right.
And I personally feel like I connect well with men on a level that I can just understand them and sort of brush off the stupid things that they say to me, because it does happen. Like, I tell Sam all the time, like, dude, did you even notice that in that meeting he was just looking down at my boobs the whole time? And he's like, no, I didn't even notice that. I'm like, yeah, well, I did. I totally noticed that. And right. It was really uncomfortable. And he's like, man, I had no idea. Like, I was just listening to the whole conversation. I'm like, yeah, I was listening to the whole conversation, but at the same time, I was being uncomfortable because right. of this dude's reaction to me and my physical presence rather than my actual, like, presence in the sense of being a musical force. Like, he's not listening to me speak. He's just looking at me. And I have had to learn how to deal with that, and it's not easy. Like, I give credit to all the girls who can put themselves out there physically and not feel like it's going to compromise them in any way, because every time I try to do it or every time I feel like I'm accidentally doing it, I always feel like, oh, well, now they're just looking at me and they're not hearing me.
Right, because if that meeting was just that guy and Sam, it would have just been two dudes talking. But because
exactly.
you were in there and you were dressed like a woman, because that's your prerogative, is to dress how you want to dress. Well, now, oh my gosh, now we gotta sexualize it and whatnot. I'm kind of an ass, so I might have been like, do I need to put a microphone down there so you can, you know, talk to them? Because I'm up here, man. But you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But so as a woman who's in the industry and you're doing it on your own and you're doing your own thing and you're not letting somebody else tell you how to do you, if you were able to mentor another young woman that was trying to come up in the game, what would you say to her if she was like, should I do this? Should I not? And
I would say, don't do it. Just get out of the music industry while you can. No, I'm just kidding. I think my biggest piece of advice and maybe best piece of advice is just to try to put all of that in the back of your mind and not even consider it as something that should be reputable, because at the end of the day, it shouldn't matter whether you're a male or a female. And I think that a lot of the times women represent themselves in the sense of, like, I'm a woman, so I have to represent myself in this way. And I don't think that that's always right, because I think that that gets dumbed down, or maybe, you know, it's not respected as much because men look at us like, hey, well, she's representing herself in the way that a woman would. But at the end of the day, we're all just people. And I think for a woman, and especially a young girl, to be able to break into the music industry, like, you definitely have to be aware of who you are, and you have to know what you're representing, and you have to know what you are showing as an artist and as a person in general, so that you can control the outcome of it. Like, I've been in situations where I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, should I wear this to this meeting, or are these guys gonna just look at me like this if I wear this and not listen to what I say? Should I cover up a little bit more? And I've started to realize that that's not the mentality I should have. I should wear what makes me comfortable. I should wear what makes me feel and look good, and all of the outcomes from that should be an afterthought.
Right,
and because it's not my responsibility to control what other people think of me. And
exactly,
there's no way that I could, like, absolutely not. Like, there's no way that I can make someone think something of me. I can't make you think one thing that I want. Like, I can wear what I want, and if you think what I want you to think, then that's great. But if you think something else, then that's your problem.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that we have to get over, is that, like, everybody, especially men, are going to think certain things of us, and we cannot control that, and we can definitely not let it guide where we want to go, because that could totally make or break who you are as a young artist, especially as a young female artist. Like, just put that in the back of your mind and make yourself feel comfortable. Like, that's the most important thing, is that you feel comfortable.
Exactly. And that's great advice for women, young women that are coming up in just regular life in general. Cause I know in the schools around here, they've gotten to the point where a girl can't wear like a tank top, because if a boy sees her shoulders, it's going to be an issue for him, and he's going to have trouble controlling himself. And it's like,
that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. And being that strong-minded woman that you are, and being around a bunch of guys, I know that you're managed by another strong gal, Vanessa Delaire from the legendary Peterson family.
I know
I'm a big fan of Vanessa's. I've known her for a minute, and I know her whole family is golden. What is it about Vanessa that was like, you know what, to get to the next level, I need you?
So I'm not sure if you know the story between Vanessa and I, but it's actually really cool. So Vanessa lived in Los Angeles a while ago, like maybe 8 years ago. And while she lived here, my aunts had like an antique store. And this was when I was still in college and I was still just like figuring my own music out. And like, I put my Raquel Rodriguez EP out as a school project. Like, it wasn't anything professional. And at the time, my aunt who owned the antique store was like, I'm going to sell these in my shop because I think they're amazing. I'm like, yeah, you would think they're amazing because you're my aunt. That's cute.
She took
like 20 of my CDs and she put them in her store. And Vanessa walked in one day and like checked out the antique store, and she met my aunt. And my aunt is like one of the nosiest people in the world, so she was asking Vanessa like, who are you, what do you do, what's your story, tell me everything about your life. And Vanessa told her, and my aunt was like, oh my god, you're in music, my niece is a singer. And Vanessa told me that her reaction was like, yeah, everybody's niece is a singer.
Right.
Like, lady, leave me alone for a second, I'm just trying to shop in your store, stop bothering me with all this. And so my aunt, after the next 20 minutes, basically convinced, or maybe just pressured, Vanessa into buying my CD. And my aunt was, I think my aunt maybe even offered it to her for free. And Vanessa was so kind enough to just be like, you know what, I'll buy it. It's all right, I'll buy it. I'll support but whatever, I'm not really interested. And so Vanessa said that she left the store and then she put the CD in her car and she listened to the first song and then immediately called my aunt at the store and was like, oh my God, when you said your niece was a singer, I didn't know that you meant she was a good singer. Like, this is amazing. And so she listened to my music, and that was probably about 8 years ago. And ever since then, Vanessa's been like a family friend. She's been in my family. She knows my parents. She knows my brothers. She's been to a lot of my performances, whether they've been just lounge or hotel performances. She's gone because she's just a music supporter. And over the last couple years, when we've been touring, Vanessa offered to help us with Minneapolis because that's her market and she knows it and she knows the venues and she's just really good at all Minneapolis. Anything Minneapolis, Vanessa can kill it.
Right.
So she booked us a couple shows, and the very first one, it was completely sold out. It was amazing. Like, she totally pulled off this ridiculously awesome show. And, you know, Sam and I were just like, damn, Vanessa's kind of killing, but she also has a full-time job, so whatever. And at the time, I had a manager, and, you know, he was all right. But, you know, over time, at the very same time that I fired my manager, Vanessa also quit her full-time job because she wasn't happy. And I'm just like, kind of as a joke, we were in Minneapolis doing a show, and I jokingly said, Vanessa, you should just be my manager. And as soon as I said it out loud, I'm like, oh, shoot, that's a great idea. Vanessa, you should actually be my manager, though. Like, can we talk more? And she kind of laughed it off for the first couple months. And then we revisited the idea, like, hey, Vanessa, I was actually serious. Like, I need a manager really badly. I need so much help if I'm going to move forward. And she finally accepted my offer. And it's like, all right, I'll help you out with a couple things here and there, and then we'll see how it goes. And as soon as she started helping out with a couple things here and there, it immediately turned into just like, hey, all of a sudden you're my full-time manager, because things just completely started coming out of the woodworks. Like, I need help, and you are so good at communicating with people, and you're so good at just managing my expectations and my emotions because you're a family friend. So, like, this kind of seems just like a match made in heaven. So you should probably just be my manager. And ever since then, she's done everything that she's possibly can. She's gone above and beyond to make the connections that I need, to just facilitate everything that I need to have a great career, especially just right now at this point in my life. I've got so much going on, and without Vanessa, a lot of it probably wouldn't happen because there's just not enough time in a day for me to be able to get to everything. And this is such an important time in my musical career that I feel like having Vanessa has just been a huge blessing, because, I mean, I there's absolutely no way I could do all of this by myself.
Yeah, she's definitely amazing. I think I first heard of you because she was promoting that first show in Minneapolis, and she had introduced me to the band Nookie Jones prior to hearing about you. And then she had messaged me. She's like, hey, have you ever heard of Raquel? Nope, not yet. I'm like, but I'm going to look her up now because you're asking me. And then I was blown away, too. I don't think I got through the first song on the first 310. And I'm like, wow, okay. And then I went back and checked, because I'm a completist. If I have one record by you, I want the whole thing. So then I had to go back. And man, okay, I got to get all this stuff, because... And then I've got favorites from almost each record. Midnight Memories being like absolutely one of my favorite songs, period.
Oh, Midnight Whispers. Yeah. Dude, it's so funny. Everybody loves Midnight Whispers. Like, there are definitely some songs off of each EP or record that everybody's just like, that's the one. And Midnight Whispers is like the one. Every time I do a show, people always request that song. I'm like, what is it about this song that everybody loves so much?
it's definitely got a new school feel to it, but it also just takes you back to like the time when music was just good
music.
And like
a
singer really sang the song, and there was no technical stuff in there were no computers trying to make them sound good. It just I don't know how to describe it, really. Just it's in that same vein as like when I fall in love and those timeless ballads, like those where you listen to them and you just feel good and you feel like everything that you're singing in the song, it comes through and you feel it as well, because you sound like you mean the words that you're singing. And again, it's natural.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad that comes across, because as a writer, a lot of the times you don't know what everybody's going to think about your writing. And I feel like singing has always been my strong suit. So whenever I talk about writing, it's like, oh, that comes second to me. So it's really awesome to hear that people can connect with what I'm saying and not just what I'm singing.
Well, and then for those that don't know also, you did an amazing cover of The Way You Make Me Feel earlier this year. It's out at Bandcamp.
Yeah.
You can get it, and you can check the video out on YouTube. I would probably put that right up there with the original version, because it is so fun. It's energetic. You didn't change up the words to make it any different. And it just, again, it just sounds like it was your song. Had I not been a big fan of Mike myself, I might have thought that was your song. And
that's
and
so
works.
Funny. So I'm going to tell you a quick story about that version. So I used to sing at a restaurant, bar, lounge, whatever. It was kind of cool every Wednesday. And I would have my band come and play with me. And one of my band members is Andres from Moonchild. He's the keyboard player in my band. And when you play music every Wednesday, you start to get tired of the same old things that you play.
Right.
So we were doing a game one of these Wednesdays, and he sort of just threw out, like, all right, let's play. Like, what do you want to play? And I said, let's play The Way You Make Me Feel. And he's like, all right, let's play The Way You Make Me Feel in the style of Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. And we're like, okay, let's, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4. And that version is what came out of what Andres said. And we were like, oh my God, wait, did anybody record that? Because that was ridiculous. That was awesome. And the next week I'm like, all right, everybody, so whatever we did last Wednesday, we're going to record a video, because that was just awesome. So let's do that. And a lot of the times that's what it is just us messing around with some of our favorite songs and kind of making our own versions of them.
And it works, and it's cool too. The other thing that I'll mention is you're very active on social media, and so, like, we hear the songs, but we can also go to Instagram, and I think there's more on Instagram than there is anywhere else. But you go there, and like you've always got videos, and when you do a show, it's live on Instagram, and it's very cool to hear that not only can you do all the things that you do on a record, because, you know, a record, anybody can sound good, but then live, you sound exactly like you do on the record. And and I love, and we talked about it beforehand too, I love the way you blend other songs. Like you're going in this direction with your own song, and then here comes Little Familiar Change, and now you're singing Chunky from Bruno Mars, and it's like, wow, okay, that transition was smooth, and it works the way that you're doing it. So.
And that's funny, because a lot of people ask me why I named my EPs the 310 and the 310 Part 2. And I mean, the biggest answer that I have is that this city has so much music in it and so many genres in it that I had to represent all of them, or at least all of the ones that taught me who to be who I am as an artist. And I feel like when I can do medleys like that and throw in a song here and there to mix with another song, that's representative of LA and what it's taught me. And just as a musician, it's taught me to just listen to other people's songs and recognize what makes it similar to that other song. And I mean, that's one of the very biggest things that I've learned from Los Angeles, is that there's no one sound that we have. It's a collection of sounds from all over the world that I've grown to listen to and love and respect, and it's gotten, and in turn it's made its way into my music and made me perform in a way that is representative of Los Angeles and all of the music that's come out of here.
And then speaking of touring and music all over the world, you're getting ready to hit the road here real soon. Where all are you headed on this round?
So I'm having my album release show on Friday the 28th here in Los Angeles. And immediately after, we're doing Appleton, Wisconsin on the 5th, Minneapolis on the 6th. And then we have a bunch of East Coast dates in October from the 9th until the 14th. We'll be doing Rochester, Syracuse, New York City, Nashua, New Hampshire, Providence, Rhode Island, Philadelphia. And I'm stoked because I haven't either played these cities or I haven't played them in a long time. So it's, I'm really excited because I haven't done the East Coast in a while. And I think it's about time. And then immediately after, we'll be home for 2 weeks. And then we leave to London for a month for a residency there because London is just so hip to soul music. And they've been really, really kind and generous and receptive of my music. So I'm super excited for London in November. We'll be playing once a week on the 1st, the 7th, the 15th, and the 21st.
Very nice. And I'm going to have to get with Vanessa, too, and have her and give her some names of some St. Louis venues, because it would be super dope to have you come through our neck of the woods as well. So
totally
make that happen.
That would be awesome.
And then being active on social media, tell the fans how they can follow you, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then where they can go to get all of your music.
I think the best way to find me is just my website. It's just Raquel.LA. Very Los Angeles themed, Raquel.LA. But you can find me on Instagram at RQLROD. That's pretty much the same across the board on Facebook, Twitter. Everything is RQLROD. And I feel like once you find me on social media, it's pretty fluid. I try to keep all of my things connected. So just visit Raquel.LA. You can pre-order my album. You can find all my tour dates there. You can see new photos. You can see everything on my website.
Very nice. And again, guys, Raquel is one of the most active people. There's something every day. She's telling you about the new things that are popping off every day. She's literally doing something new every day with the radio station, a show. And you can see her shows for free on Instagram. So if you can't make it to a show, pull up the Instagram and crank it up, because it's super dope watching her play and seeing what blend she's going to do with this song or that song. And then you know you're going to hear some of these live ones from the 310 Part 2. Again, that is available today on all media outlets. $3.99 on iTunes. So if you've wasted $4 today on that expensive cup of coffee. That's
two bags of hot Cheetos.
Yeah. So I mean, you've wasted it already. And if for some reason you haven't spent any money today, you're gonna waste.
What's another
$4? So yeah. And it's good for the soul, good for the spirit, because you can't listen to this record on a low volume. You can't listen to it with your windows up, and you can't listen to it with a frown on your face. So it's uplifting. And I drive about 30 minutes to work. So I get through the whole EP, and then I get to start it over and get through Nights Over one more time before I actually get to work in the morning. And then I'm walking in with some pep in my step, and we're good to go. So definitely support the movement, support the 310 Part 2, get that today. Get the 310 Part 1. Go back and find her other music. You can check her out on YouTube. There's all kinds of links and videos and stuff on YouTube from Blue Dream Studios and from Raquel's own YouTube page, with videos of the performances of some of these songs that we've talked about. And just, if she comes in your area, go see her, because you're going to be blessed. Because once you watch her on Instagram, it's over. So Vanessa, we're going to be talking. I hope you're listening. We're going to be talking soon about St. Louis. So let's make it happen. And thank you, Raquel,
St. Louis,
for all the things that you're doing. I appreciate you so much for taking the time out to come on the show, because I know you're super busy. And
oh man,
thanks for coming.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. It's been awesome chatting with you. I love talking about myself.
Well, and hey, that's what a queen's supposed to do. And guys, I've said it before. I said it to Raquel in private, so I'm not just gassing her up on the show. She's definitely, in my opinion, the queen of the West Coast soul. She is to the West Coast what Mary J. Blige was to the East Coast. And I love her music, and I believe in supporting an artist that I'm a fan of. She's a great person. She's super cool. Her posts are funny. None of them are really too serious. And, you know, we're not worried about what's going on in the world. We're worried about the music, and that music makes you feel good. So support Raquel. When you have anything else to put out, anything else you want to talk about, you have an outlet here. I'll bring you on anytime, and I look forward definitely to having you back and to Vanessa getting you in St. Louis.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Chris. This has been an awesome conversation. I love listening to you.
Well, thank you very much. And again, everybody, the 310 Part 2 came out today. So go on iTunes, $3.99, pick it up and check it out and leave a review, because it's important for the artists to get reviews so that they rank higher and whatnot on the releases. And let's try to get that record number one, because that's where it should be.
And yes, thank you so much.
Let's say in the next 2 or 3 years we're going to be turning on the Grammys, and instead of Adele getting called up for 25 awards in the first hour, it's going to be Raquel. Like, Adele's going to be presenting Raquel with Best New Artist or Artist of the Year. So that's what the goal is. Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, man.
You're welcome, man. We will definitely talk soon, and you guys have a great rest of your night.
Awesome. You too.